Dive deep with us into the trenches of professional sports. From the electric charge of the hardwood to icy battles, the strategic plays, and to the global passion, we cover it all where no sport is left behind.
Join your hosts, Justin Williams, and myself, Nee Wallace Bruce, as we break down game strategies, dissect play performances, and give you the insider scoop on what's happening both on and off the field of play. We are the Pro Sports Podcasters. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review. Welcome back to the Pro Sports Podcasters. I am your host for today, Nee Wallace Bruce, and we have a returning guest, a guest who is going to give us a lowdown on upcoming events and future events, all things Olympic Games, Paralympic Games, and more. From gamesbids.com, it is the one and only Robert Livingston. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Now, we're less than 6 weeks away from the Olympic and Paralympic cycle going through the summer edition in Paris. But before that, in fact, a day before that, we should be getting a confirmation of the future hosts for the 2030 and 2034 Winter Games. What can we expect from that, Rob?
Well, as of right now, we can definitely expect that Salt Lake City will be awarded the 2034 Games. They're involved in they're a preferred candidate. They're involved in targeted dialogue, which means they're the only city or region that the IOC is currently considering. And they had a favorable evaluation report. The executive board has agreed that they should be put forward to the election, and that election happens on July 24th, just a couple days ahead of the Olympics. Now, the French Alps bid, they're bidding for 2030. Same kind of situation. The only difference is that they still need the federal delivery guarantee from the federal government. And as you might know, that there's an election coming up in France. They're holding that on, I believe, June 30th and July 7th. The government's currently in flux. They can't sign any such agreement. So the IOC needs to wait until after July 7th. And hopefully that moves forward. Without it, the bid can't move forward. If it's signed, expect that the French Alps will be hosting in 2030.
I see. Now, I guess I have a couple of questions around that. Let's say hypothetically there is a change in government or an alteration to the current situation in France and the federal guarantee falls over. Is there a backup plan for the IOC for 2030 for that bid?
When they named the French Alps for targeted dialogue, that was back last November. They were the only city selected, so they're the only one region that has moved forward and gone on that path for the election next month. There are no other bids on that path. They had been competing against bids from Switzerland and from Sweden. Sweden was left out of the process. Switzerland has been queued up for 2038. I suppose their best hope at a backup would be the Switzerland bid that are currently preparing for 2038. Other than that, I don't know. They may just extend it and hope that the French government comes around and signs that maybe at a later date, but they're not talking about any backup. They're going with the French Alps and they're committed. They say that they expect that guarantee will be signed.
Fair enough. Now, as you touched on, these two games have been under the guise of targeted dialogue. Is this the preferred strategy for the IOC, or is this, and do you think it's healthy that this is the path to go down as opposed to the bidding processes we've seen in the past?
Well, it's interesting, actually. The targeted dialogue process really only benefits the IOC. I mean, that's good and bad. It's good in that they can choose a bid that works better for the Olympic movement, for what their long-term goals are. They don't have to leave it up to the, I guess, the randomness of a vote by 100 or so IOC members that all have their own agendas, right? So they can kind of carefully select the bid that really does work rather than leaving it up to that democratic process. But at the same time, there's a lot less transparency and a lot less of that democratic process. So you could have, I'm not saying there is any, but you could introduce some corruption into that. It could serve specific agendas for specific executive board members, that kind of thing. So, and for the general public, we don't really get a good view as to what is going on. So it's hard to say. I prefer the old process. I think it was better, but we'll see.
Indeed, we shall see. Now, last time we had you on, you touched on the idea or the concept that the International Olympic Committee might be looking at a circuit of Winter Olympic hosts for the future. Is that something that we could see with these hosts that are being announced, or has that been shelved?
So they had talked about looking into that possibility. I don't think they really meant specifically we're going to name 3, 4, 5 cities and we're going to keep cycling through them. I think it was more of we're going to try to focus on regions or cities that could host now and could host again in the future, and maybe mentor them in that direction. For instance, Salt Lake City, you know, they have their legacy from 2002, which is making it really easy for them to host now in 2034. And I'm sure after 2034, they'll be ready to go again almost immediately after. So you can assume that, you know, Salt Lake City's in that pool. Maybe they're doing the same with the French Alps. I'm not sure. But once you get a region ready on one bid, and, you know, the other thing, the important thing is they're looking for climate-capable regions that will be climate-capable well into the next few decades, right? Salt Lake City studies have shown that they're good until about 2050. Regions like Sapporo in Japan, a little further along. So that's another option. They're running out of regions, they're running out of cities. So I think they're just trying to focus on bids that work now and then putting them in their back pocket for the future, and hopefully they're in an area that will be climate capable for decades to come.
For sure. Now, the Salt Lake City bid is interesting, considering that we're recording today on a Thursday, and today is actually the day that the deal was finalized for the new, the relocated Utah Hockey Club in the National Hockey League. How much of the targeted dialogue from the IOC for Salt Lake City do you think influenced the NHL giving Utah a hockey team?
Interesting. I don't think the Olympic decision or that targeted dialogue had any influence on the NHL. I mean, NHL runs in its own lane. There was no plan in the current Olympic bid book. There's no plan to build any new arena. So it wasn't a situation where they're going to be building an arena and the NHL said, great, we'll move right into that arena. It'll be great. It's actually kind of the opposite. The IOC didn't want to build anything new. They have the Delta Center, which the Jazz, the basketball team, currently occupy. It's not a great facility for hockey. I've been to it. The sight lines are terrible. They wouldn't be good at all for hockey. They're going to be using it temporarily for at least a few years, but there are plans, not concrete plans, but likely plans that they will build a new arena within the next few years. And in that case, if it's available for the Olympics will use it, and they've said that. But so it's kind of the opposite. What the NHL is doing, the Olympics can benefit from rather than the other way around.
There we go, because we all know about the relationship between the the Olympics and the hockey, NHL, has not been great over the years. So thank you for clarifying that. And we look forward to seeing NHL players in future Winter Games.
Right.
Do you think there'll be NHL players playing in Salt Lake City by then?
Well, I would certainly see there's definitely opportunity for both sides there. We expect to see NHL players in 2026. At least that was the plan. They've made that agreement. And it could happen again in 2030. So if they follow down that path, I see no reason why they wouldn't actually send NHL players to an NHL city in 2034, especially since, you know, there's a lot less travel for the players, or most of them will be, you know, in the same country where they originated from. So I see that as an opportunity, definitely, for both sides, for the NHL players to participate at Salt Lake City 2034.
Indeed, indeed. Now, just switching gears to the summer side of things, Paris is coming up. We've heard some rumblings that the opening ceremony might be modified. Do you have any insight into that?
Well, the current plans for the opening ceremony are to have the have a flotilla along the Seine River. So basically, there's about 6 kilometers where the teams, the athletes, will be on separate boats going down the river. Then they will reach a point right near the Eiffel Tower where there'll be a temporary stadium that they'll go in and they'll do the ceremonies and the speeches and those kinds of things where the dignitaries will be seated. But along the riverbanks, of course, there'll be temporary seating and standing room and, you know, lots of other people who they originally planned up to 600,000 people. There's going to be less because they're cutting it back. For security reasons, most of that will be open air, and they're worried that, you know, there'll be, you know, terror threats or that kind of thing. Typically, the opening ceremonies happen at a stadium where there's the security measures are a lot more controlled. There's no line of sight ability for, you know, if someone wanted to target something. And checkpoints, there's a perimeter is easier to build. So the plan is now to do that open concept along the river, which sounds really great, actually. Sounds like it'll be quite a show. But if there are any threats, there is a plan B. It hasn't been officially discussed what that plan B is. I imagine it'll be to go into the French National Stadium, where the athletics will be taking place, move it all there and have a traditional, you know, indoor Olympic stadium type opening ceremony. We'll have to see what happens. I mean, I know there have been some threats that they've already discovered and acted upon ahead of time. You know, if something happens within the weeks leading up to those ceremonies, they might have to make that decision to go to the backup plan. But right now, the plan is to have it on the river.
Indeed. And yeah, that sounds pretty unique and pretty exciting. Hopefully it comes through and hopefully everyone is safe and having a good time there. Now, you're listening to PSP with myself, Neolus Bruce, and our guest, Rob Livingston from GamesBids.com. You go over to GamesBids.com, you'll find all the information on Olympic Games, World Youth Games, and many more sporting events. Rob, one thing I saw when I was on the site was that the 2036 Games might have a bid from Egypt. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of bids. I think the IOC president alluded to the fact that there might be as many as 10 cities that are involved in discussions right now for 2036. So one of those is Egypt. It, you know, there hasn't been a Games in Africa yet, so that would be a first. The plan there is to have it in a city, and the new administrative capital that they're building in Egypt, about, I believe, 30, 40 kilometers away from Cairo. They're building a new city, and part of that new city is their new sports park, or they call it their sports city, And they've already built a large stadium, which could be the Olympic Stadium. They built a couple of arenas and other smaller stadiums and sports facilities. I peeked at Google Earth the other day and I saw it all, you know, rising from the ground. So that's their plan. Their plan is to host the games in, you know, in a very narrow footprint in those new buildings that are just, you know, emerging as we watch. So that'll be really interesting. I'm not sure that it's going to work out. There's a lot of other factors in play besides just having the infrastructure. And there will be a lot of competition, but we'll see what happens.
Indeed. Are there any front runners? I know it's a few years away, but does anyone stand out from those number of cities, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, we never know if it's too early to tell because the IOC has these discussions in the background in secret, and at any time they could just announce that, you know, we've picked the one we like the best for targeted dialogue. They did that with Brisbane, I believe it was 2021. Nobody was expecting it because, you know, the games, the 2032 games, were 11 years away. And one day they announced, hey, we've chosen Brisbane, and they're probably going to be the host in 2032. So going to 2036, we don't know when we're going to hear about that. They've told us that maybe 2026 will be the right time, but could come earlier. And the cities that have been the noisiest talking about it as, well, India, definitely. They've been campaigning for 2 or 3 years, and they're really determined. We know Qatar is interested. We know Saudi Arabia is interested. Germany, kind of controversial, because do they want to host the games in 2036 on the 100th anniversary of the games probably we all want to forget in Berlin in 1936. There are a few others in the mix there. It's hard to tell whether they're serious or not, because now they conduct these discussions in private. It used to be more in the open. So there might even be other bids that are on the top of the list that we haven't heard about. And that's, you know, we talked about off the top of the podcast there, we talked about the transparency. We don't see a lot of what's going on until it's over. And that's the problem with the process. So we can talk about these things, but we really don't know where they sit at the moment.
That can't be good. I think that more transparency is obviously better.
Right.
Just staying with the IOC, this could be the last Summer Olympics for Thomas Bach. Where do you see the leadership going for the IOC in the near term?
That's an interesting question. There have been doubts that. Thomas Bach, he's in his second term, and that's the current limit according to the Olympic Charter. It would be up in 2025. There's an election that would be scheduled at the session that year, which is next year. But he did hint, or some members have hinted, that they might want to change the charter and drop that limit, which would mean Bach could stand and run for election once again. That would be very controversial because he has been pushing right across the sports spectrum, all the national federations and Olympic committees and that kind of thing. More, I guess, transparency, more structure, and, you know, more fluidity in leadership to keep things in check. But at the same time, now he's looking at, and he hasn't officially said anything, but he's been hinting at the fact that he might stay longer. So if you were to ask me now, who do I think the leadership would be post-2025? Right now it seems, although he can't run and isn't running, it might be Thomas Bach. There are other players, but they haven't been making a lot of noise, and I'm really not sure. You know, we've got Seb Coe. He's the leader of World Athletics, the International Federation, and he's a potential. There are others within the IOC membership, but it's a little early, and I think they're all waiting until after Paris to really declare their intentions.
Radio, are we going to see John Coates potentially throw his hat in the ring, or is he not going to be? Does he not have leadership aspirations like that anymore?
I don't know. I mean, he could. He definitely has the reputation within the IOC to run and get some support there. I haven't heard anything, but once again, they don't really need to talk about it, and they might be waiting until after Paris. If he had those aspirations, I think maybe we would have heard about it. But once again, I'm not really sure. I would say he would definitely be in the top 10 if I were to make a list, but I don't know if he's at the top of the top 10.
Fair enough. Now, thinking about the Egypt bid for 2036, we've never had a Winter Olympics in the Southern Hemisphere. I get that there's a lot less landmass and a lot less winter climate-friendly sites in the Southern Hemisphere, but do you think that's a realistic possibility at any point in the future, somewhere like New Zealand or Chile making a bid for the Winter Olympics and Paralympics?
It's a possibility. It really comes down to whether they have the capability in the existing infrastructure, because once again, the IOC doesn't want anyone to build anything. They want everything existing. So a couple options there is that, they have the infrastructure, or if they're missing one or two things, then they could modify the sports program and drop some of the sports. They've talked about doing that. So for the Southern Hemisphere, for a region to bid, they'd need at least most of the facilities. Also, they'd need to have the climate. So I'm not sure, depending on the location, what the long-range climate forecast is, but the IOC has set certain conditions. They need, I think, the average temperature to be below 0 degrees Celsius within the last 10 years during the time that the games would be hosted. They're very specific about that, and they hope that's a forecast that it will remain cold weather for the snow. So that's kind of the criteria that a city or a region in the Southern Hemisphere would have to follow. And I don't know where that would be. But if there was such a region, I don't see why they couldn't bid.
I could see the South Island of New Zealand potentially, but it would be important to see if they meet that climate metric, that long-range climate metric that you mentioned. New Zealand is also part of the Commonwealth, and the Commonwealth Games for 2026 has been a story. The state of Victoria was going to host it. They had pulled out for economic reasons. Do we know who's going to step in for that one?
We don't. You mean who's going to step in for the 2026, and it sounds scary saying that because it's like 2 years from now, the 2026 Commonwealth Games. The Commonwealth Games Federation promised us a decision in May, by the end of May. Never happened, and we really haven't heard much. I did hear from their press contact about a week ago. I think it was, once we got to June 1st and we hadn't heard. And they said they were just trying to work out some details with one of the possible applicants. I don't know who that was. I've heard in the news that Glasgow had kind of put themselves forward as a backup, last-minute backup plan with a reduced sports program if necessary. I know that the Commonwealth Games Federation have hinted that there are other cities they're talking to. I don't know who they are. Little disappointed that they haven't communicated to us that at least they're working on something or have, someone that they're working out the details with. So I'm kind of skeptical as to what might happen. But right now there's no specific bid in sight for those games. And maybe they skip a cycle and just go and try to find a host for 2030. I don't know what they're going to do, but they have to decide about something soon.
for sure, it is getting late very early in, yeah. in that one. If you're a fan of the Blue Jays, you know exactly what I mean with that. But anyway, before I get into baseball talk, if they did skip 2026, could that be a hammer blow to the Commonwealth Games movement and, I guess, interest in the Commonwealth Games overall?
It would definitely be a big problem. I think if they were to announce that they are going to skip the 2026 cycle, I mean, they could also delay it to 2027. They've talked about that in the past. But if they were to skip 2026, I think at that moment when they make that announcement, they would have to have pretty concrete plans for 2030. I think it would be acceptable and they might be able to maintain the momentum if that were the case. But if they were to say, we're skipping 2026 and now we'll start looking for 2030, that would be, I believe, a big problem, because at that point, everyone would just give up. So, you know, if maybe they're working on a host for something later than 26, and that's why it's taking a little longer. You know, I don't necessarily see that as a big problem if it's 2027 instead of 2026. I mean, it's only 2 years away, 2026, and they don't want to rush it either. They don't want to come up with a plan and it, you know, doesn't come through well. That would be even a harder blow, I think, at the end. So, you know, we could speculate on this all day, but when they don't tell us anything, it's really hard to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're kind of fumbling in the dark a little bit.
Right.
I didn't even think about that, pushing it back a year. That's because we just did that with Tokyo and the Olympics, and apparently
because that's so, right.
Why not?
Yeah, it can be done.
It can be done. It has been done. And speaking of has been done, you've done quite a bit of work at gamesbids.com. Is there anything else you wanted to share with our listeners in terms of some projects that may not be out there in the mainstream or some stories that you really wanted to tell?
Nothing really specific. I know I'm waiting for some news on esports. The Olympic esports games are a possibility. The IOC has been looking into that, and they have a esports commission, and they're looking at planning a separate, you know, it wouldn't be part of the Olympic or Winter Olympic games. It would be a separate planned event where Olympic medals would be awarded to, you know, gold, silver, and bronze winners. And they would, the esports athletes would compete with various popular titles, and they would be integrated with the existing sports federations. So, for instance, if you were to have e-baseball, for instance, you know, an electronic version of baseball, that would be part of the WBSC, the World Baseball Softball Confederation, which, of course, they govern the actual physical sport. And there would be, for instance, trying to think of some others, there's cycling. I know there's some hybrid cycling model that they were looking at doing, and they actually tested it in the, they had an esports series last year, and that would be part of the Cycling Federation. So they're looking at these, and it might be a really exciting event. I know esports has been part of some of the other continental games already, but the IOC, they don't really want to integrate it fully with the Olympics. They wanted a separate event, and it might work out well. So that's something that I'm expecting to hear an announcement very soon, within the next, within less than days. And we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch that one closely, because that's a new frontier in sports, the esports realms.
Well, especially for the IOC, they're looking for growth areas, because they're not really growing. You know, the Olympics are more popular with the older generations, and they're becoming less and less out of the mainstream for younger people. Who are more addicted to their screens and that kind of thing. So the Olympic movement, they're trying to keep young people, you know, in the mold, I guess. And by introducing this sort of hybrid sports, esports, you know, model, they're hoping to attract them there.
For sure, for sure. Now, where can our listeners find you on social media?
Well, on most platforms, we're simply Games Bids. So we're talking about X and Instagram and YouTube and how many are there? TikTok. We're on all of those. If they wanted to follow me directly on X, and I guess we can just say X now. We don't have to say formerly Twitter, I hope. Anyways, if they were to follow me on X, it would be simply my last name spelled backwards. Well, my last name's Livingstone, so it'd be Inotskneville. You don't have to say, you just have to spell it backwards. And that's my X handle. And you can find me there. We are across most platforms.
Too easy. It's definitely a good read, an informative read. You'll learn a lot, and you'll be the smartest in the room when it comes to GamesBids when you go to gamesbids.com. So on that note, Rob, thank you for your time. And
my pleasure.
We look forward to enjoying the games. And that's the game. We've reached full time on this episode of Pro Source Podcasters. Your enthusiasm and support drive us forward, and for that, we're really grateful.
If you've enjoyed today's journey through the thrilling world of sports, please consider leaving us a review. Your feedback not only helps improve us, but also connects us to the community.
So don't forget to visit our website at prosportspodcasters.com
for exclusive content, episodes, and the latest updates in the realm of professional sports, where no sport is left behind.